interviewing Sam Schubert on December 12, 1988 in his home on Lake Nathworthy. Sam, you were telling me a while ago that you're 75 years old today.
Yes, I made it.
Well, congratulations. And you're going to go out and feed the cattle this afternoon as a way of celebrating?
Something equally exciting.
You go out there quite a bit, don't you?
Well, I feed every other day.
Every other day. And it's located out on the other side of the...
Highway 277 North, opposite Goodyear Test Tract.
You came here from Fort Worth, you said, in what, 1924? Why did your dad come to San Angelo?
Well, he represented a Drover's National Bank out of Kansas City in this area. And I think he came down here to close out all their bad loans.
And y'all been here ever since?
Ever since.
Where did y'all live when you came to San Angelo?
Well, at the first, we lived at where Sears and Roebuck building downtown is located. Now the courthouse annex. And then we lived out on Avenue H.
Was the old courthouse there when y'all lived here?
Yes, I watched them tear down that old courthouse as a little kid.
Yeah, it was about 1928, I think they tore it down and built the new courthouse. Tell me a little about San Angelo then, as you remembered as a kid.
Well, I remember it as a very, very friendly town. The downtown was active. You could walk around downtown and see hundreds of people that you knew at that time. Now I don't see anybody I know.
How were the streets? Were they paved?
They had some wood block paving on Chadburn.
Right in front of your house?
No, downtown, in the real downtown area. Out in front of our house was some sort of paving, but it wasn't very good.
And they had the wood blocks that they...
That was downtown paving. Whenever it rained, they would swell and raise up.
I've been told they popped right out of the ground, didn't they? You joined Scout in what, 1926?
I think it was in 1926, Frank. I don't remember exactly.
Tell me something
but
about...
It was when the scouting movement got to moving again in San Angelo. My scoutmaster was old Frank Bell.
And
the sponsoring organization was the First Presbyterian Church, and we used to meet in the basement of that church.
Who was Frank Bell?
Well, Frank is a son of one of the old pioneers here. They lived over there on Bell Street, hence the name of the street. He was a city engineer at that time.
Well, tell me some things about the troop that you remember.
I remember that we did hold those meetings down in the basement of that church, and that at the conclusion of the meeting, Frank Bell would take us all to the Lone Star drugstore and we could have a milkshake.
Well, it must have been just around the corner from the church.
Right.
Wasn't the fire station over by the church?
No, the fire station was right next to the San Angelo's Hotel on the same street that the Presbyterian Church is.
Where would that be in relationship to today? Is that where Central National
That'd be
Bank?
Where the Central National Bank
parking lot
is.
That was the fire station. Mm-hmm. And then where the building is would have been the San Angelo's
Hotel.
A lot of activities happened either on the courthouse lawn or seemingly at the fire station.
Certainly did. The fire chief, John Parker, at that time was most interested in the scout movement, one of the commissioners, I believe. And that fire station lot was always ours whenever we needed it.
What are some of the things the troop do that you remember?
On the fire station lot particularly, Frank?
Or at the meeting room or on a camping trip?
I don't know whether the camps were fully organized at that time. Maybe it was, but I don't remember.
Y'all used to go on hikes?
We did lots of hiking.
Where'd y'all hike to?
Well, out to the Lake Nasworthy, where Lake Nasworthy is now. We call that the 7 Mile Bridge. So that made a 14-mile hike to walk out and back.
What? Where is 7 Mile Bridge in relationship to the?
7 Mile Bridge is was almost where the bridge is at the present time.
The long four-lane bridge that crosses Lake Nasworthy.
Of course, there was not a lake, only the river channel there.
What river is that?
That is the main Concho River.
North Concho?
Not the North Concho, no. It's made up of the Middle Concho and Dove Creek and Spring Creek.
And they all come together and then come on in.
Mm-hmm.
They had a camp there called Camp Pioneer 1 year.
That's
you
right.
Did you go into it?
Yes, I did go to it. I did attend. I can recall very well that it rained most of the time that we were there. So a lot of time was spent inside that tent.
The tents were different then from what we use today. They had more people in them, I guess.
Well, we had those army wall tents, and I suppose they were supposed to hold 14 men. But I don't know whether we were that crowded or not.
So you had your whole patrol in the tent?
Yes, it was old squad, a patrol.
What did you do in the troop? What were some of the jobs that you had, that you remember?
Well, I remember being a patrol leader, of course, and then a junior assistant scoutmaster for quite some time. And I never did take over a troop or remain in the scouting after I was an adult, hence I've never been a scoutmaster.
As an older youth, you helped keep that troop going, I know.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Now, what are some of the other kids that were in the troop with you? You remember any of them?
Well, Frank, I wish you'd given me a little hint that I was supposed to come up with that. I do. Of course, Ford Bulwer was there in our Troop 3, and Dwight Hunter as well.
J.T. Henderson was over in Troop
2. J.T. Henderson was in 2. Our scoutmaster was, I mentioned the first time, it was Frank Bell. Oh, then I don't remember some of the ones that came along in between, but then one of the finest ones was named Louis Houston.
I've seen his name quite
Louis was not a big man around town, but he was devoted to that scout troop. And spent many hours with the boys.
You were one of the first, you were one of 12 of the first Eagle Scouts in the council. Can you tell me anything about the ceremony or about you getting your Eagle or anything that led up to it?
Oh, yes, I can. The ceremony was held in the old county courthouse in the courtroom. And I well remember the men who sat behind the table in this court. One of them was the fire chief, John Parker, and then I think my father was there too. He used to be the scout commissioner for a long time while Bryce Draper had the council. Then John Y. Rust was always there. And I believe I could add Ted Logan too.
A lot of y'all got your Eagle. What was the most fun you remember in getting your Eagle in scouting?
Well, we were very highly competitive at that time, and it was just a race to see who could get their badges that were required for the Eagle rank.
Were the guys pretty rough on you as far as the counselors and things that passed you on your merit badges?
I think they were certainly thorough. One instance I can come up with, I got the merit badge on foundry practice. Well, there was no examiner for boundary practice, so I went up to Mrs. Willig and explained the situation. Would she be the examiner? And she agreed to do so.
They had just opened their foundry just a few years before that.
Don't remember that, Frank. It was certainly there.
Very active. When you were, your dad, who was the commissioner for several years when this council organized, in fact, he was the first council commissioner. What can you tell me about him?
Well, his name was John Schuber, and he came from the Fort Worth area. He had been several things, I have been told, like an engine wiper for the Southern Pacific Railroad to begin with, and he's been a druggist in Mineral Wells, and he came back to Fort Worth and worked in the North Texas Trust Company, which was a livestock loaning bank. From that, he went to be vice president of the Drovers National Bank in Kansas City. He lived to be pretty old, 86 years old, I do believe, here in San Angelo, where he was retired, lived at the San Angeles Hotel.
How did he get involved in scouting? Because you joined, or?
I suppose he got involved because he was one of the men who wanted the Boy Scout movement here in San Angelo, of course, because I was of the age. And I think he had something to do with employing Bryce Draper in the first place.
Getting him here as a scout. What do you remember about Bryce Draper?
Oh, Bryce was one of the most enthusiastic leaders that a bunch of boys could have.
Was he a young man at that time?
Yes, he was young. He was slender, and he was mighty good looking. And the girls around town certainly did go for him.
He got married to the lady that was head of the Campfire Girls.
Well, I think you have it in not in exact order. I think that he got married and brought her here to be a Campfire Girls director. Her name was Elizabeth Fowler. Bibb. It was the.
Do you remember her?
Oh, I remember her very well.
What does she look like? Can you tell me about her?
I think she was a good-looking redhead, as I remember, and
slender.
Very popular. Very popular.
She certainly did a good job with the Campfire Girls here when she was the director, apparently.
I thought so. My sister was active in it for a long time. And Bibb Draper ended up being a very close friend of my mother's. Mother would always go on those Campfire Girl camps, too. She said she just added the gray hair.
Do you remember Bryce's father? He was the pastor, I think, or elder.
I never knew him.
Church, never did meet him. Scout Village, what do you remember about Scout Village?
I remember that area used to be a tourist camp owned by the city. They had some little washing and cooking facilities there and places for the tourists to pitch their tents. Then I suppose it was through Bryce Draper's endeavors that they got the city to let them put a village there. There were seven or eight cottages. They were just small. A building that had four small rooms for the patrol meeting rooms and then one larger room, and there was a porch on the front. and they were made out of half logs that came in here from New Mexico or somewhere in the forest country. And I think the construction was done in to a great extent by volunteer work. And also some of the materials were donated by the local companies.
Where was y'all's cabin located?
Troop 3 cabin was on the east side.
Near Randolph Street?
That'd be near Randolph Street, approximately south of the present YMCA.
Were y'all excited about moving into the cabin and fixing it up?
I think so.
You were a lot older then because you'd had your Eagle, I think, about a year or two when they moved into that. They said that was the popular swimming area of the city. Is that correct? A lot of people used to go swimming down there?
Yeah. Yes, there were some large flat rocks that stuck out into the river at that point. And we did lots of swimming. In fact, one time we had until a rise took it out, we had a small suspension bridge across the river so that we could get to the other side for swimming purposes.
Yeah, Dalmatics has sent me a picture of that bridge, and I found where the concrete pilings were.
Yes,
are
yes.
Still there down from what is now the Girl Scout cabin up there on the other side of the river. They had kite contests, and they had field days every twice a year. And what do you remember about those events?
Well, I remember the kite flying contests, and we also developed a kite fighting. We would put the razor blades and so forth on the frame of the kite or on the tail, and then endeavor to drag it across the opponent's string and let his kite go flying.
Sounded like a lot of fun.
It was.
Neil Sanders was involved in one of the kite contests, and he showed me a big signal kite he had built. In fact, he still has it. He was also started what was known as the Boy Scout Archery Club. Do you remember anything about that, where he made the bows and arrows? And
Neil made many things for us. He had his furniture store right downtown, and we could go by after school, and he would assist us with many kinds of woodwork. And I fail to remember specifically that he made the bows and arrows, but he did make many things, including a totem pole at one time.
Yeah, I've
heard it was
about
a beautiful
that.
Piece of work.
It was called the Queen Totem Pole and the King's Totem Pole that troops would win, and I guess they put them in front of their cabin. I don't know. You remember what it looked like?
Well, they were first put up in that fire department yard, and there we would gather around and honor the totem poles. And
they had contests among the troops, and whoever got the most points got to be the guardian of the totem pole, I guess is what it was known as.
Could be.
Could you describe the totem poles to me? Do you remember?
Yes, Neil made them out of large telephone poles. These were not creosote treated. And he carved faces, figures, in the length, for the length of the pole. And up at the top, he inserted pieces of wood that looked like wings. And then crowning the whole top of it was the eagle head and beak.
But that was pretty. How tall were these totem poles, as you recall?
Maybe about 20 feet high.
They were pretty good sized totem poles. Did y'all get to paint them, or did he paint them? Or
don't remember, Frank. I don't know. I imagine that he did it all.
You went to several summer camps. You told me about Camp Pioneer. There was a Camp Geronimo that they had over near Menard, Texas, the following year. Do you remember anything about that?
Yes, I went to that one as well.
You remember what they did at camp or any of the incidents that happened or anything of that nature?
Not particularly now. One thing I recall is that Scoutmaster from Lubbock, and K.N. Clapp brought his part of his troop down to his more experienced boys to show us how to camp. And he did get me interested in the Indian artifacts. He showed us that we could find arrowheads there at the Camp Geronimo. And we did. I never forget that he knew a lot about snakes, too. One time he got underneath his car with a handkerchief in his hand and was dabbling at what he thought was a little harlequin snake, but when he found out it was a coral snake, he nearly raised that car getting out from underneath it.
It looked like it. What I've read about the camps, the kids did a lot of snake hunting at the scout camp.
Sure, we collected them at that camp for
the
Mr. Clapp. They wanted to take them back to Lubbock.
When they camped over here at Camp Pioneer, here at Seven Mile Bridge, they hunted and found a lot of bullets and arrowheads. There used to be an Indian campground up there or something that I remember reading about that they... And I noticed when they'd go on a hike sometime, they'd come back and say, well, we found so many bullets and a couple of arrow points. Do you remember anything about those?
Not particularly. We used to find 50 caliber bullets, particularly in the area where Santa Rita Edition is, and we supposed that they were fired by the soldiers stationed at Fort Concho.
You think that was where they did their...
Must have been the rifle range.
Rifle range. Camp Conley, on the Conley Ranch. Can you tell me where that is? I have no earthly idea where that is.
Well, wasn't Camp Conley at Carlsbad?
Yeah, on the North Concho.
Yes. Well, as you come into Carlsbad now from San Angelo, just about the edge of town, you turn to the left, cross the Concho River for maybe a half a mile or a quarter of a mile, and then turn north, turn right north, and that was the area of the camp.
They had it
right
there,
on the riverbank.
They had it a couple of years up there. Apparently it was a very popular camp. They built some
Yes, buildings. They went to the trouble to build some mess halls there. Just open affairs with benches and tables, yeah.
And then they moved it all over to Camp Lewis Farr. I think Gibby Pfluger told me he remembers tearing down the buildings or helping to move them over to Lewis Farr and setting them up over there. If you want to describe San Angelo when you were a scout, how big was the town?
There were 12,000 people about that time, and I thought I knew nearly all of them.
Well, there's, 100 or a couple of hundred in scouting then?
Oh, I think we had more than that. But there was at least a couple of hundred.
How was scouting rated in town?
Scouting was very, very important. As a news, as news in the town at that time, we had full support of all of the merchants or the business community in our work, our endeavors.
Did y'all walk everywhere you went? I take it when you were going to meetings and things of that. And they don't drive like they do today.
No, and I had a bicycle too.
I understand that people. All the youngsters in those days had bicycles and they rode them everywhere. Y'all, Ford said that none of the ranch kids were in scouting during that time. Do you remember? He said it was mainly the city kids that were in scouting.
I'm sure he's right. Ranch kids lived on the ranch.
And when they got out of school, they went home and did their chores and things. They always were having contests. In those days, they would have contests for this or contests for that. I can't even remember all the names of them. I remember the King Totem and the Queen Totem and the Loving Cup troop that won a Loving Cup at one of the field meets. And there was something called an iron rod or noun, something or other that they had at one time. You remember any of the other contests that they had that y'all...
Yes, one of the most popular ones was the fire building contest, in which you started with your flint and steel and your little package of wood, and whoever could burn the string that was stretched across the fire to a couple of feet above the ground, whoever burnt that string first won the fire building contest. And then we did have signaling contests. If you get the message through first, well, you won it.
Knot tying, was that really
Knot tying was a very popular one. You lined up with your little rope in the hand and were given an order to say, tie a bowline. Okay, the first one to tie the bowline dropped his rope to the ground, and he was the winner if the knot was correct.
What do you remember when we talk about scouting, and as you look back upon it, how do you feel about scouting now that you're 75 years old? And we're doing a little reminiscing today of when you were a lot younger.
Well, it was the greatest experience in my young life, I know that.
Were you in anything else?
Learned a great deal. Was I in other organizations? No, scouting was it. No, I was not in any other organizations.
Did you spend a lot of time with it as a youngster?
I most certainly did, almost through high school, too.
When did you finally get out of scouting?
I think I got out of scouting when I went to college. Or no, really, it wasn't that, when I was supposed to go to college. But I didn't go to college because the money tree had stopped growing here. I worked out on Jose Tweedy's ranch for a year at $30 a month.
But you did finally get to go to college?
Yes.
Where did you go?
Went to the University of Texas.
What year?
I went in 1934. I had to sweep my way, so to say. I kept the geology building clean.
You stayed in O.B. Hall when you were there?
No, it was more convenient to stay in the some of the boarding houses that were located just off campus.
You didn't stay in the Bloomquist boarding house, did you, perchance? Sweet house, as they call it?
No, I didn't. I don't even remember. It was on Pearl Street, I think. And Ralph and John Logan had promoted that house. If they could get boys to stay in it, I believe their keep was free.
So there were a lot of people from San Angelo in that house then, apparently.
Not necessarily. It's just the three, the Logan boys and me, I think, at the time. We had others from across the state.
What did you major in, Sam?
Well, I'm a registered professional engineer now in petroleum.
You came back to San Angelo after you graduated?
No, there were no oil business around San Angelo when I graduated in 1938. I moved to New Mexico and Louisiana and South Texas. I've been around to several places.
Just wherever there was oil or potential?
Wherever my company had, I worked for Amerada Petroleum. Wherever they had production, well, I might be there.
When did you decide to move back to San Angelo?
Let's see, I really came back to San Angelo in the drought of 1950, in the early part of the 50s, I was ranching and working the oil field at Ozona. And we got in an awful fix with the bank, as did all ranchers. And I found that if I would come to town and make our living expenses, then they would be much more willing to furnish the money to operate the ranch. So that brought me back to San Angelo in 1957.
Did the ranch belong to your father?
No, the ranch belonged to my wife at the time, or rather to her mother. We leased it.
How has San Angelo changed? You still know a lot of people here in town that you knew when you were younger? Or?
Well, if they're still alive, but that's the problem. Most of the people...
I don't want to get your horse, but I'm enjoying visiting with you. What do you do with your free time now?
There is always something to do on the ranch, Frank. Always something to do. And although I don't ride those horses anymore, I certainly can do the chores around the place.
You enjoy ranching then?
I enjoy that being outdoors very much.
Been in it, what, about
30, 40 years now? Yes, I have. I've been out there on that one place for 22 years now.
When you were a youngster, you received the Chase Holland Award from your troop as the outstanding scout.
I did.
Did you ever receive it?
Yes, I still have it.
I'd like to look at it before I leave.
We'll look in there and see if I can locate it. That was given to the best scout in San Angelo, I think it was termed, for only 2 or 3 years. Remember, Luther Coulter won it at one time, and I don't remember who else.
They gave one award for the outstanding scout, and then they gave one to each troop for the person in that troop who was outstanding. And I know they gave it... Oh, in 1927, 8, and 9, and 30. But I've only been able to find the award for 2 years. They apparently presented them in the summer, after summer camp, or at the summer camp court of honor, or something of that nature. And they always gave them either in July or August. As the summer court of honor, I guess they called it.
I don't remember.
You went to Camp Geronimo, I bet, as a youngster, when they had it down at Christopher.
Both certainly did.
They had one at the beginning of the summer and one at the end of the summer. I guess in those days they used to have 2 camps every summer. One for the kids after they got out of summer school, and then one early in the summer just through the school was out.
Well, we had other meetings down there at Christopher too. You know, it was a Baptist encampment at that time, and they had some screened-in buildings, that is, on the north shore of the river. We'd have patrol leaders' conferences and various instructional schools. But as I recall, the camp was across that suspension bridge and on the south shore in the pecan trees.
There along the bank.
Yeah.
And y'all used to go swimming there at the river, I guess somewhere close to where the little dam is there, the extension bridge.
Oh, a couple of hundred feet up river from where the dam is, and between the dam and the suspension bridge is actually what it is. We had some platforms there on the river, wooden platforms, so that you could climb out on that north bank. And swings, all those swings, rope swings from the...
I think they had those at every...
From the big pecan trees.
You know, I was looking at some of the things that were popular in those days. It seemed like every time they built a scout camp, they had to have a rope swing or two. And they always seemed to play water polo. Water polo seemed to be a very popular game in those days.
It certainly was. We always had a water polo match at the camps. Of course, camps were always where there was water, too.
You know, y'all would go swimming when you first got up in the morning. You'd go take a dip. I guess that's where how you got your bath at the camp. And then you'd go eat, and then you'd have merit badge work in the morning, and then in the afternoon you would usually go hiking or fishing or, you know, have fun games. And then every night you had a campfire.
I guess we did. It was a great thing together around that campfire.
What can you tell me about any of the other men? Did you ever meet Sam Crowler, who was a Crowler hardware store?
Well, I certainly knew of him, but I was not with him during the scouting period.
He was
so much earlier.
He was president of the Quantum Club when they first organized, and he and Houston Heart were instrumental in getting the council going, along with Sam Schreiber, your dad, and the others, and Dave Parker. There's a group of names of men that always seemed to be involved in whatever went on in scouting in those days. Tell me a little more about San Angelo as you remembered as a kid. You know me about the fire station and the San Angelo Hotel. Were there a row of houses where y'all lived across from the courthouse?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Was there a wagon yard down on the corner?
The wagon yard was down on Concho. It was on Concho Street.
About where the bus station is now?
That's it. That's it.
What do you remember about the wagon yard?
Oh, high board fence around it. I remember a little bit about the owner, the operator. I think his name was Tang Johnson, and he was built about like a pear. Yeah, I guess that's all I remember about that, right?
How about the movie theater?
Movie theater was something that we went to every Saturday afternoon. We'd take our nickel and go to the Crystal Theater, which was also on Concho Street, and watch these cowboy films. They shoot 'em ups, real shoot 'em ups. And there was a piano that furnished them only music.
These were silent movies.
Oh, yes, it was silent movies, but they did have a piano player there to keep you going.
Do you remember, did they sell popcorn then, or you just went in and saw the movie?
I think we just went in there and saw that movie and got out and walked home. I don't remember the popcorn.
It was pretty much a Saturday ritual.
It was a thing that you got to do on Saturday.
What else did the kids do during the day? I imagine they went swimming a lot when the weather was warm.
Well, we played a great deal of neighborhood baseball. Some mumbled it peg.
There's a game called Paper Chase.
Well, I didn't get in on that one.
Don't
recall it.
I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I remember reading about that they did. You remember about the trolleys in town? I'm sure they were quite popular.
Yes, they had those.
You used to ride them?
No, they went the other way. From downtown, they all headed east. And
going out to what, Lakeview?
No, not to Lakeview, but out the east part of San Angelo, probably William Street or Fraser, one of the two of them.
I think well, North Chadburn.
Up North Chadburn as well.
Are all the businesses then basically on Chadburn Street down around Concho Street or down in that area sort of concentrated? In other words, the courthouse was sort of on the edge of town or out in the residential area?
Well, the residential area commenced just west of the courthouse alley.
Where City National or City Bank?
Yes, where that bank is now. Yes, the businesses were all downtown.
On Oak Street and Chadburn.
Chadburn Street was full of businesses from the river. Oh, up to where college is at the present time.
How about the railroad trains and everything like that?
Yes. That was a source of fascination to us neighborhood kids too. We would go walk over to the Orient shops, the roundhouse and switching yards and so forth.
Were
real active. Yes, it is. And the departure of the evening passenger train for Fort Worth from the old Orient station was an event that we. We like to watch that thing crank up and whistle and pull out. And if you wish to get a letter to Fort Worth, the thing to do was to take it down in the evening and put it on the rail post office car.
Post it directly to the post office
yes.
car itself.
Yes.
I'll be darned, I didn't know that. What kind of jobs do kids have to make money?
Lots of them sold the Standard Times. I think my first job was to work for work in Holcomb Blanton Printery. Mayor Holcomb was active in it at that time, and I did get to work on after schools and Saturdays. Then came the real hard times, and he was able to employ a full-time man for very little bit more than he was paying me for after school and Saturday work.
So he let you go.
I worked for John Y. Rust, San Angelo Telephone Company, one summer. Let's see, Dwight Hunter was working that summer, too. We dug post holes, and set up country phone lines, and did some of the installing around the city.
This is why you were still in high school?
Yes, I remember putting the telephones in the Hilton Hotel.
It was about the time the Scout Village was built. They were still in the Hilton Hotel. Telephones were a rarity then, weren't they? Or were they pretty popular? There's quite a few of them around.
Well, I think everybody I knew had a telephone.
So they had pretty well been established. How about radios?
We all had a radio.
They had a new radio station in town. Did y'all have any popular programs that you listened to? Or?
Well, until you get up to the time of the Amos and Andy programs, I don't remember any of them that we listened to, but the Amos and Andy was a must. Excuse me.
You were a member of the Zolkers. What can you tell me about the Zolkers? What were they?
It started out that the qualifications to be in the Zolkers was to hold at least the rank of Life Scout. And it was just an organization of older Boy Scouts.
What did y'all do?
Bryce Draper thought it up as a vehicle to keep the older boys interested in the scouting program. And what we did was mainly social. We'd have dances. We'd have our own parties. We operated very much like a fraternity. No, I don't recall the degree system in it at all. We would have our weekly meetings. Mainly plan on social activities.
And then the scouts, the older boys, and then help out at summer camp and other things.
We did. Yes, we did.
Y'all had your own room at the scout village.
No, I don't.
Scout headquarters. They said they remodeled an old four-room house and built it by a room.
Oh, yes. That, and Bryce Draper lived there for several years, too. Well, I remember the Zocca room as being in the north, the southwest third floor of the courthouse, the new courthouse building. We kept that room for quite a while, and the Boy Scout council office was second floor of the courthouse on the west side of it.
When did the Zocca finally disband?
Well, I don't know when they disbanded. Probably just died a natural death. That was when I was gone off to the university. Personnel had all changed, new faces in there, and I was no longer active. I think the Zocca organization did try to exist after I got out of it by several years.
About how many were in
the
school?
30.
Was there high school kids?
All high school kids. Yes, that was the age group.
Did y'all have anything that identified your group from anybody else?
No. No. We did not. I don't remember it at all. I just think we were just like a fraternity, just a club.
Any other organizations you remember or initiation or anything that y'all had? There was a Sea Scout group in town sometime around that period of 1930 and 1931. It was started in one of the scout troops.
Well, I didn't get into that. If it existed, I don't recall it.
You remember J.T. Henderson being in town?
Of course, yes.
He was private.
He was always true, too, yeah.
And then there was a boy in Henderson.
Don't know which one Boyd was in, but I kind of think that it might have been the Troop 7. Fred Nibbling was also there, I recall.